From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Otherwise, it would be like Manel that went to the gas station. And when he was pumping gas, he looked and he said, I forgot my keys. I locked them in the car. Oh, no. So he puts the pump back in. He goes into the gas station attendant and he said, hey, I can have one of the kind coat hanger for make the kind so I can pull the lock up. So the guy says, sure, sure. And he gives him a coat hanger. Motorgy guy goes outside. 10 minutes later, still nothing. So the gas station attendant goes out, and this guy is still jimmying in the lock.
And to hear the punchline, you'll have to stay tuned. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, a message that most of us can relate to. In fact, you may be feeling it right now. A message entitled, When Dreams Are Shattered. If you know the pain of shattered dreams, today's message will definitely be an encouragement to you. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with the message, When Dreams Are Shattered.
Would you take your notes out with me as we come to our finale in our When series? And we're going to talk about something we'll all go through, something that you had set your hopes on or now dashed, and the dream that you had in your heart that you thought was indeed the Lord's dream that you put in, that He put in there, all of a sudden seems to have been shattered. And we'll all go through those times. But dreams are a fragile thing. We have to know how to process this so that we make sure that we're doing our part and allowing Him to do His, lest we switch and we try to do His and expect Him to do ours. We're going to kind of rearrange that today. But dreams are fragile. Let's read at the top of our notes together, Ecclesiastes 5:3. Would you do that? Go. For the dream comes through much effort. Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into the fulfilling of a dream, and we have to make sure that we parcel it out correctly so that He's doing His part and we do ours. Most of the times we get it mixed up, and that's where the problem is caused. And so we're going to find out a little bit about that. But before we do, I want you to know that if you read through the Bible, most of God's best people had their dreams dashed. All of them. I mean, they were put through the ringer. They were questioned, doubted, refined. Dreams taken away, even shattered. We all recall Job. If you've been reading through the Bible with us in our devotions, you'll be going sporadically through Job, and we will have just gone through it and finished it. And Job is one who had everything taken away from him, just shattered. He was refined. Then Abraham, when he put all of his hopes on that gift called Isaac, his son, and then God had to ask him to sacrifice that son, all of a sudden, everything he thought he had was dashed. David, when his dream was to be a great king in Jerusalem, and Absalom, his son, comes up, creates a coup, drives him out of Jerusalem, I could see him sitting in the wilderness with dreams shattered. Moses, when he was driven into the desert for 40 years, you could see him sitting there at times on a rock, dreams shattered. Everything that he had hoped for. Jeremiah, when God said, I'm going to appoint you to be a prophet to the nation, and he's in a pit, left to die, dreams shattered. All of them. But I think the most visible of all and classic is Joseph. Joseph, who was given a promise, who was given a dream, and it was in short order that everything was shattered. I'm going to talk a little bit about Abraham and Joseph, but before I do, I want us to know that, and here's just sort of, I'm going to open up the door a little bit of my heart. You know, as a pastor, I want to do my best to instruct you in the things of life so that there's navigational points when it seems like all the lights turn out. It's kind of like the stewardess, you know, on the airplane that says, in case of emergency, you'll have aisle lights that'll turn on, you know. And so in the darkness, I want to make sure that you have some navigational lights. But when push comes to shove and the bottom line appears, please know this, as much as you'll get instruction and advice, it will not be instruction or advice that will save you through the dark times. It will be the Holy Spirit Himself. It's not a philosophy or a set of instructions or religious Christian principles. It will be the person of the Holy Spirit. Because we can give each other instructions, but the Holy Spirit will give us help. In fact, He is called the Paraclete, or the one who is called alongside to help. So although the instructions are wonderful, so that the Holy Spirit can bring these back to remembrance in those times of emergency. Yet without His help, we can do nothing. So before we go any further, let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Would you with me just bow your heads for a second? Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who is given to us so that we might just not receive more and more heady instruction. But with that instruction, a helper, a counselor, a mentor has been placed within our lives to guide us through the valleys of the shadow of death. So in those times when our dreams are shattered, help us to know that though it might seem like we're alone, we never will be. You will always be there. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Would you apply what we are learning, the instructions, breathe it alive. Only you can do that, in Jesus' name, amen. Because you see, we need more than instructions. We need help, especially in those times. Doesn't matter how much advice I get, I need help, not instruction. Otherwise, it would be like a mantle that went to the gas station. And when he was pumping gas, he's looking, he said, I forgot my keys. I locked them in the car. Oh, no. So he puts the pump back in. He goes into the gas station attendant's little booth, and he said, hey, I can have one of the kind coat hanger for make the kind so I can pull the lock up. So the guy says, sure, sure, and he gives him a coat hanger. Well, the Portuguese guy goes outside. 10 minutes later, still nothing. Thought, well, I better go check on this guy. So the gas station attendant goes out, and this guy is still jimmying the lock through the window, and he looks inside, and another Portuguese inside the car. And the other Portuguese going, little more to the left, to the right, to the left, left. We don't need more instruction, we need help. You just got it, yeah, good, I know that. You must be Portuguese. But you, I forgot where I was. It was so good. But you know, one of the things that we want to make sure that we know and understand about the things of dreams and promises that God gives to us is this. Somewhere in your notes, would you write this down? Steward the promises well. Steward the promises of God well. You see, I'm not talking about us fulfilling it, but steward the heart with which you fulfill it, how you pursue it, the heart with which you pursue it. Steward the process well. Steward that whole process, how you pursue it, the timing with which, the heart with which. Because would you write in your number one there? Because in everyone's heart is a God-given dream. Write that in there, number one. In everyone's heart is a God-given dream. God placed it there. The divine dream of what you can be. And it acts like a GPS system. It sort of gives you a sense of direction. It may be a dream to have a God-glorifying business, a family, to be a minister, missionary, a business person who impacts his community through what he or she does, to raise children that will be great leaders in the community. Now remember, the dreams of success don't always necessarily need to include lots of money. Sometimes we think in our society, if I'm going to be successful, then I have to, well, not necessarily. Oh, yes, it includes that in some, but not in others. Albert Einstein was never known for amassing a great deal of money, yet no one would argue how successful he was. Mother Teresa did not have much money per se, but the landscape of our world has been transformed by her compassion and grace for the dying. They weren't known to have a lot of money, but they're extremely successful. And that's a dream that God will put into your heart that will transform the world, our communities, our families. And once you lock into that, oh, I tell you, you can break through any kind of barrier or opposition, because that dream of what God has placed in your heart will drive you on. However, the word dream or promise is sort of like the word love. It is so broad that we kind of mistake its meaning from time to time. You can say, I love you, I want to marry you, I love you. And then, oh, by the way, I also love basketball. You think, well, am I better than or is equal to? You know, the wife would say, and the fiance would say. Yeah, sometimes we have such a broad meaning on love and dreams and promise that it's sort of a little wavy. And so we have to make a distinction. And would you write in your notes, first of all, the first bullet, know the difference between a wish and a God-given dream. Wish and a God-given dream. You see, a wish is like a lesser dream, a temporary desire, an aspiration, and it's even negotiable. But a God-given dream is something different. It's your overall assignment. And you have to know the difference between the two, lest we give our hearts to wishes and we miss the God-given dream. It's a temporal aspiration. This is negotiable. You can change that. This will drive your identity and move you forward. This is your assignment in life. This is what you will be held accountable for. In fact, if you're trying to distinguish between the two, ask yourself, if this is a wish or a dream, will I be held accountable for this? Because see, some people have, they think it's a dream. Oh, if I only married that hunk of a football player, ooh, then I will be so fulfilled. Or if I only lived in that big house, I gotta buy a big house. That's my aspiration. That's my dream. Is it, or is that a wish? You see, wishes are negotiable. You can change that around. But sometimes we go after a wish as if it were a dream. And then when that's shattered, we think, that's it. I just broke my heart. No. Will God hold you accountable for that in that day? Not a wish, a dream. Dream, a God-given dream of having a God-glorifying family or having your life in such a way that it exemplifies the Lord or impacts your community or to raise children, grandchildren in such a way that they become disciples of the Lord. That's what you want to do. And you have to be able to say, when I stand before God, He will hold me accountable for this and I'm okay to answer to that. And that's why I'm going to give my time and effort and energy to that, because that's the reason I exist. If it's just, oh, a big house, then it's like you're going to stand before God and God's going to say, man, my assignment for you was, did you get that big house? Yeah, I did. Ooh, I like you. No. God's not going to hold you accountable for that. That's a negotiable thing. It's a negotiable item. So those things can, you can mess with them and they can happen or not happen. It's like no big deal. Don't set your heart on those, because if they get shattered, you'll go down with it because you think that's what you've got to have. That's an aspiration. That's a nice wish. But a God-given dream is your life assignment. That you want to be able to stand before the Lord and He will then hold you accountable for that. Don't mix the two up. Now, let's put that wish aside and let's talk about the dream. Well, how do you know? Well, first of all, would you write in your next bullet, both will be tested. That's how God will help you to distinguish between the two. Both will be tested. Now let's bump up and read that scripture right above it in Genesis 37 and verse 5. They'll both be tested. Let's see how that happened with Joseph. Go. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brothers, causing them to hate him even more. I tell you, God will allow the wishes or dreams to be tested, thwarted sometimes, blocked, doubted. As soon as Joseph got this dream, he decided to report it to everybody. Oh, by the way, you know, you're going to kneel down to me and you're going to bow down to me, and Dad, I haven't left you out. You're going to do the same. And all of a sudden, they hated him even more. And in short order, he was thrown into a pit, left for dead. Oh, they changed their mind. They sell him to a passing caravan. He's sold as a slave in Egypt and then falsely accused, thrown in prison, forgotten in prison. I mean, it's quite a bit of testing and adversity that he's going to go through. Both will be tested with adversity. He did that with Abraham. He did that with Moses. He did that with Joseph. And sometimes it won't only be thwarted or blocked or challenged or doubted. It'll be put through a battery of tests. But even more than that, God may even ask you to die to it sometimes. Let's read what it says under that bullet there. Ready? Ecclesiastes 11. Go. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. You know what God is saying? Be willing to let it go, because if it's of me, God says, I'll bring it back. If it's a wish, it'll disappear. But if it's a dream, I will fulfill it. I will bring it back. Not you. I will bring it back. Now, here's something I want you to write down, and we're going to come back and refer to this again and again, and that is this. I must be faithful for the process. God will be faithful for the promise. I must be faithful for the process. God will be faithful for the promise. You see, sometimes we try to fulfill that, and God actually has to get it out of our hands. So He'll even ask us sometimes to die to that. If I grab a hold of like a vase and say, I'm not going to let this thing go. And the Lord says, if you don't let it go, it'll never be fulfilled because you don't have the power and the ability to do it. Yeah, but it's mine. It's mine. Yeah, I know it's yours, but you don't get to hold on to it. Like, it's mine. And sometimes, watch, the only way God can get it out of my hands is, to shatter it. Now, he's the potter. He can resurrect that. But sometimes the only way God can have us to let it go is to shatter it. Because if we don't let it go, we will destroy it. That could be in a relationship. It could be in a dating relationship. We want this so bad. And then we just grab onto this. Because God, you promised me a family. And we start to try and maneuver and manipulate this. And sometimes God has to shatter it if we won't let go. Because when he does shatter it, all of a sudden something happens. We come to the rude realization that we are not the Messiah. We are not the promise fulfillers. We are the disciples who follow faithfully in the process, but he is the only one that will fulfill it. And so what do we do during that time? Would you write in your next bullet? It's time to scrub the motives of your heart. Scrub the motives of your heart. Because you see, sometimes when the Lord allows the refining process and even the shattering of a dream, it is during that moment the Lord might say, watch your heart. See, Joseph had the right dream, but he carried with it the wrong heart. So as soon as he got the dream, he just began to announce it to everybody. By the way, you're going to bow down to me, and you too, and don't feel bad, you will too. And he just went and began to announce it to everybody, and right dream, wrong heart. And so now the battery of tests began, and that dream was shattered. And it took a while now. It is a long period of time in which Joseph would now start to scrub his heart. You see, God cannot work if there are wrong motives. If you succeed in business, why do I want to really succeed in business? God, help me to succeed in business. I want to make a lot of money. Why, Wayne? Why? Oh, because I'm greedy. But please help me. Motive's wrong. Maybe God does want you to be a success in business, but with that heart, nope. James says it this way, we ask and we don't receive because we ask with wrong motives. Yeah. God will not be able to move to fulfill a promise unless we're willing to scrub our hearts. And that's what was going to happen for a period of years in Joseph's life. Promise right, heart wrong. When both line up, then there's a fulfillment, but not until. And so he rewinds this process and he has Joseph go through a scrubbing time. And he asks him, why? Why do you want this, Joseph, so bad? So people can bow down to me. Wrong. Time to scrub your heart. Everything shatters and he starts to take him through the process. Now, here's something very important. When God takes you through that time of shattering, make sure that you brutally, honestly check the motives of your heart. Otherwise, we'll be like this guy reading this. It sounds so nice, but this is an estranged fiance, and he writes a letter to her. Dearest Susan, sweetie of my heart, I've been so desolate ever since we broke off our engagement. I am simply devastated. Won't you please consider coming back to me? You hold a place in my heart no other woman could fill. I can never marry another woman like you. I need you so much. Won't you please forgive me and let's make a new beginning? I love you so much. Yours always and truly, John. And then he writes, P.S. Congratulations for winning the mega jackpot at Las Vegas last week. We got to scrub our motives. And sometimes we sound so religious. But what is really driving all of that? Because we'll want to use God for our purposes. We want to use them. And we always do that. I mean, even little kids. The story of a mom that was preparing pancakes for her two sons, Kevin, who's 5, and Ryan, who's 3. And she's preparing pancakes, and the boys begin to fight and argue over who's going to get the first pancake. I want it. No, I'm going to get it. And the older boy says, no, I'm older. The younger says, no, mom likes me best. And they're fighting. So the mother saw this opportunity to teach a Sunday school lesson to her two sons. So she said, boys, if Jesus were sitting there, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Just then, Kevin, the older one, turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, You be Jesus today. We've got to scrub our hearts. I was sharing with a practicum group about, I was talking with one of our interns some time ago, and I said, what do you really want to do in ministry? And our intern said, you know what, Wayne, I want to lay hands on the sick and they get healed. That's what I want. I said, really? Yeah. I said, why? So people will come to know the Lord. I said, really? Yeah. I said, so you really want to lay hands on the sick and you have a heart for that? Oh, man, that's my dream. I said, oh. I said, how many sick people have you prayed for in the last week? He said, well, I've been busy the last week. I said, oh, okay. How many hospitals have you visited in the last 2 months, 3 months, 5 months? He said, none. So I said, so you don't pray for sick people now at all, but you want God to give you the ability to bring healing to the sick when you don't pray for them. So, yeah, I don't like sick people because I could catch, you know, a disease and stuff. Okay. So the reason you want to pray for sick people and they get healed isn't because you love them and have compassion on them. It's because you want to look good. He said, no, I want people, you know, to come to know the Lord. I said, no, because you want to look good. Because if you really had that right motive, you'd be praying for sick people all the time. You'd be in hospitals. You'd be loving them, talking with them. So why should God give you a gift that you don't even practice now and don't even have a heart for? You got to scrub the motives of your heart, because that'll never come to pass if your heart is wrong. Do you understand why God sometimes shatters it? Because he goes back to our heart. Why do you want to marry that guy?
Because he's good looking. He's one hunk and I'm going to look good standing next to him.
Ah, let's shatter that one and scrub it. And that might be a wish and not a dream, because I ain't going to hold you accountable one day whether or not you married that hunk. I'm going to hold you accountable for something else. What? Then it's time for you to discover what your true dream is, lest you have wishes that are shattered and you think that's the dream. The Lord says, no. Maybe I'm shattering them so that I can guide you to what's most eternal. And so scrub your heart. When you hit adversity, what do? Would you write in number two? Here's part of the process now. Number two, make sure you stay faithful in adversity. Stay faithful in adversity. That's exactly what Joseph teaches us. In the midst of adversity, whatever God handed to him, he remained faithful. He went and became a slave in Potiphar's house. He was faithful. Even when he was tempted and coerced, he remained faithful. He was then falsely accused, thrown in prison. And you know what? He stayed faithful in prison. He became so excellent in prison that the warden handed all of the responsibilities of the jail over to Joseph. He became the top dog in prison. In fact, the Lord was so pleased. Let's read what it says in Genesis 39. Go. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. So he places him as the top guy. Now, why was Joseph excelling even in the midst of this adversity? Why was he excelling in jail? Was he trying to be a warden? Did he say, you know, my destiny is to be the warden of this jail, so I'm going to really work my way up? No, not really. Listen, he was faithful in whatever God gave to him in this season of his life, even if that was not what he's destined to be. And God sees your faithfulness in the process. But please listen. Joseph learned everything he needed to learn in order to become the second most powerful man on the earth. He learned it not in an Ivy League school. He learned it not at a grade A university. He learned it in the classroom of adversity. That's the only school he went to. He didn't go to Pharaoh University. He didn't go to Egypt University. He went to adversity university. And he was faithful in the midst of it. He didn't cast it off. He didn't say, oh, I'm just a failure. Adversity hit me. I'm a failure. No, it was not a dead end. It was a beginning. It was a classroom, not a cul-de-sac. It was a classroom. And everything you will learn to be that man that you want to be, that woman you want to be, will be learned in the classroom of adversity. Yeah, but doesn't that mean you failed? No, no. Would you write in your next bullet, failure is only what you define as such. Failure is only what you define as such. No, that setback isn't a failure. It could be just encouragement for greater inspiration.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, When Dreams Are Shattered. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, have you ever heard of a McJob? Well, you may be working at one right now. We'll find out what that's all about on tomorrow's program. Until the same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.